If you're looking for professional help, look no further than RAM Accounting and Consulting. Corporate assurance tax services, accounting and consulting services specializing in small business and non-for-profit organizations, personal finance and tax accounting, GST preparation, audit preparation, AGLC compliance and reporting, payroll and compliance services. You can contact them on their website or you can phone them at 403-336-3640. Their website is ramaccounting.ca.
Welcome to the Business Life of Husband and Wife podcast.
A show based on real experiences in business and life.
Hey guys, welcome back. Episode 45. 45. We are 7 episodes remaining in season one.
Yeah, that's
our
wild.
Goal of 52 in season one.
We're so close.
We're so close, which is awesome. We were just talking off air, like we were so laughing about, oh, hey, remember episode 2 when we were doing this? And we're like, holy, we don't know what we're doing right now. But we actually got it figured out kind of now.
I think so.
Well, Wade does anyway, don't you, Wade? With the editing? Anyways.
Welcome to episode 45.
Welcome to episode 45. So as you guys who listen know, and for those of you that are new today, we have 3 formats of our show. First format is we have our couples episodes. So those episodes, we interview couples on business and we get the ins and outs and all the bouts, trials and tribulations, how they attack different avenues in their relationship and how they kind of separate business from home, all those kind of things we kind of go through.
And then the second format that we have is we have some industry professionals on. So anywhere from HR specialists, marketing, lawyers, accountants, just kind of on to explain the basics of the behind the scenes of businesses, the 101s, absolutely. And then we have a third format, which is...
So those are our Q&A episodes. So for those of you who have heard this rant before and this little spiel, we started in February this year. We want to do 52. That means there's only 48 because we started in February. We missed 4 weeks of the year. So what we did is we do Q&As. So our Q&As, you guys submit questions to Robin and I on anything, business, relationships, whatever it might be. We answer those to the best of our ability, and you guys can submit those through either our Instagram by DMing us or at the top right-hand corner of our website at businesslifeofhusbandandwife.ca.
Okay.
Okay. But today we have a couples episode, which I'm pumped for. I've been harassing them for a while to come on the show. I've been in their store kind of poking. So today we've got Curtis and Melissa with GTFO. I'm not going to tell you what that stands for. They're going to introduce it and introduce their company and what they're all about. It's very, very interesting. I'm super excited to have them on. And thank you guys for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
So just give us a quick introduction of each other, of yourselves. Wow, holy, there we go. And the name of the company, just because I don't want to spoil it. And kind of why you guys got started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're GTF Outside. Get the fuck outside. My name's Curtis. And we started the company to raise mental health awareness and the benefits of getting outside in nature. So hence the get the fuck outside part.
Or I say get the F outside. MPG.
Yeah. We have a lot of people now that we say, what's your F? So what's your reason for getting outside?
Oh,
is
that's
that,
great.
You know, get the family outside, get the fun outside, get the friends outside, get the fur balls outside. But mine is always going to be get the fuck outside. And the reason is that it's bold in that statement and it's kind of in your face and brings awareness to it.
Mm-hmm.
100%. It's a sentence enhancer. I don't know if people have ever heard that. When you use the F word, everyone's like, it's a sentence enhancer. Just like you say it regular and then you throw that in there and everyone's like, huh, mm-hmm. Oh, that sticks a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right,
exactly. Yeah, we feel that if it didn't have the enhancer in it, it probably wouldn't have the attention. People mm-hmm. wouldn't pay attention. We probably wouldn't be here if we didn't add that. So it's bold, it's in your face, but it starts conversations. And we always like seeing facial expressions at markets when people clue into what it means. They like usually giggle all ages. And then they come inside. So yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, definitely. So Melissa and I wanted to, it's always been a goal of ours to do something together and like start a brand. Melissa's got a bit of a background with apparel and, you know, fashion, that kind of stuff, working in a clothing store before. And then we just wanted to do something that would kind of make a change in the world. So mm-hmm. we had started off with, you know, deciding what we wanted to do. And then we, you know, it was like kind of fly by the seat of our pants, get into an Instagram, building everything together. Cause it was, you know, well, let's grow this on social media and see how far we can get it and then bring that all in to the business and have the attention of everybody. So as we got going on putting the business together, it just grew and grew and grew. And at one point, while we were telling people to get outside all the time, get off their phones, put down the video games, all that kind of stuff, we knew kind of why we were doing it. And then all of a sudden it actually really hit us one time on how it got more real around the mental health part.
Mm-hmm.
And so, my mother-in-law, so Melissa's mother, she had been fighting depression for a while, and Melissa's dad, Jim, he was always like, come on, Betty, let's go outside, go for a walk. So as long as they went and did that first thing in the morning, it completely changed her mood for the remainder of the day. And then that helped her throughout the rest of the time as she got through it. And that's when it really hit us that this is deeper than, you know, what we were originally just telling people to get the fuck outside for. So right. It only took a couple months after we had started. Yeah.
And when did you guys start? Like, when did the idea kind of start to come to fruition? And you're like, you know what? I think we can take this somewhere.
Yeah. So that was in around March, right when COVID kind of hit.
Oh, okay.
Because, yeah, when COVID hit and we both ended up at home, then it gave us a little bit more time, you know, because we're working different jobs. And but then all of a sudden, March 16th, you know, we're at home trying to figure shit out. And it's, you know, I was working in the oil field. It's tough to sell things to people in the oil field when you're sitting at home and nobody's really doing anything. So we ramped it up at that point, thinking what COVID's going to create.
Well, what did it create?
It created a lot of people sitting inside.
Right?
Right?
Yeah. And nobody getting outside. And then from there, there's a lot of other things. And I still don't think we've seen, you know, the real repercussions from the whole
lockdown situation. Yeah.
No, I agree. I think initially, like for those first 3 months, everybody was like almost like cabin fever. Right. So like the timing for you guys probably couldn't have been better to like, and did you guys kind of have a feeling that it was going to happen, or is it just, you know what, like we're just doing it and we're going to kind of see what happens? Or.
Yeah. Well, he sees it differently than I do because.
Well, this is great. This is a couple's episode for a reason.
Cause Curtis, he's like a born entrepreneur, like always wanting like always thinking, you know what we should do, you know what would be good, you know, on a good business. And I would just be like, yeah, you know, like, and I knew he always kind of wanted to do something, but he's just constantly wheels are turning. So then he had come up with doing a clothing brand, GTFO. And I was still just kind of like, I don't know. I just kind of thought it was another one of your ideas. So in January 2020 is when he thought he'd just slowly build up an Instagram following. So I didn't really pay much attention. And then he'd slowly tinker some more on it. And I'm like, I just thought it was just another, I don't know. I had kind of like one foot in like supporting him, but I just thought it would just be like another idea that would fizzle out. And then when COVID hit, it just kind of put it into like full force for you, where you started actually ordering clothes and you had a logo going and you had a guy building a website. And I still wasn't like super connected to the idea, but that's when the mental health and we kind of like had a pain point, you know, where there was just a little more. Cause to me, I wouldn't just wear a t-shirt that says get the F outside. I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, but
there has to be meaning behind
it. Yeah. Once we kind of like, I remember sitting around the table and we sort of started doing some research on it when we put the connection to my mom, and I was like, I like this, you know. And then it really was just COVID kind of overlapped it, where we were just like, whoa, like this needs to happen like now. So I don't think we realized the extent of the connection with COVID mental health and this brand until, until it started.
We had a friend that, a good friend that, had passed away from, cancer, not too long before that. And the one thing that, that Rod had always said was, you know, find something simple, a simple solution or something that needs to be changed in the world and then build a business around it and make a move in the world. And that was kind of that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we just, I've always been the type that, I just want to help people. I'd rather help you than before myself. So, making that move and making a move in the world, and leave that behind kind of thing.
Where did that come from for you? Like, I want to go back a little bit. Like, it's almost like servant leadership, right?
Yeah.
So where did that kind of come from? Is like always, like as a kid, you're always kind of like, I just want to help people like be better and do better things. Cause for me, it's been a learned thing. Like the last couple, say 4 years, it's been, hey, it's not for me. Like, I'm not running a business to make money anymore. I'm actually doing it. Cause like, I want to make sure like I'm providing value to the people around me and the clients. And now we're doing this podcast, trying to like provide value to our community and like bring new ideas in. And so when did it kind of start for you?
Yeah. I think you hit it there when you were, you know, when I was young, I noticed that kids that, you know, maybe weren't quite as popular or were being picked on a little bit, I would take them under my wing and help them out. So it did start at an early age, and then it just kind of moved out through my entire career. Like even starting, I moved from Saskatchewan, in the 90s, to Alberta to start working on the oil rigs. I'd only been out of high school for a few years and working my way up on the rigs when guys were hard asses, you know, and it would just increase from a derrick hand to a driller, and people would just continue to yell and swear at each other. And I would never carry that with me. I would treat the next guy better than the way I was treated. And it always bothered me that it didn't work that way. So I just continue that through life. And
so that's like quite the transition in my perspective. Like you go from like, I mean, blue collar, like rig hands, like any kind of contracting, construction, rigs. It is like, we don't care about your feelings today. And it's like basically what Clayton said on one of our episodes, fuck your feelings, right? That's basically yeah, what it, like, that's the, like, and it's like.
Thank you to the psychologist for that one. Yeah, the psychologist for that one.
But that was like, that's, you go from that transition of like, yeah, you tough it out, like you'll be fine, like, you know, walk it off, mm-hmm. to you're creating a brand that's more about like,
awareness
mm-hmm. around like, and being outside is big. I'm a big believer because I grew up in the middle of nowhere, like mm-hmm. in the bush, like isolated post, right. Homeschooled, mm-hmm. always outside, skipping classes as like a 6-7 year old, like just mom couldn't find me. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a big transition. So how was that transition? Like you always kind of like, you kind of always felt that you needed to help people and like bring them under your wing, but like that transition from that mentality, how is that bringing that back in to what you're trying to do? Like, how was that transition for you?
Yeah, was it
pretty simple? Cause you're already kind of there.
It was pretty simple because I knew what I wanted to do. I always like to, you know, talk about the elephant in the room kind of thing as well. So they all just kind of work together. Like, you know, currently we've got over 3,500 ambassadors for our company right now as well across Canada and the United States. So what we wanted to do with that was, you know, one, raise the awareness where we're ending the silence to mental health. On one of our hoodies down the sleeve, it says hashtag end the silence, because that's our mission. So we wanted ambassadors to go out there, you know, and more than promote our clothes, just raise awareness to talk to somebody. So I've just always been able to just listen to somebody and then be like, wait a minute, is there something wrong? You know, or are you just good? Like, so I can talk about it. And our ambassadors have been really, we created a community of like-minded people where, again, our motto in that community, we've got lots of mottos, our motto in that community is just fucking be kind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've created with that ambassador group.
Well, and I think just like, you know, you hear a lot of people and businesses in the community, like they say, well, let's listen to the community. What does it need? And I think that's how we've kind of changed our company, is like, what does the world need? What do we need right now? You know, so we maybe didn't start as much with like the, and the silence and being vulnerable and stuff. But clearly we started seeing that that was an issue. I think it started when there was like a big rise in suicide with men after COVID. Mm-hmm. And so the, and the silence started with around men being able to talk mm-hmm. about their feelings and that they're not okay and their struggles and stuff. And so we're like, whoa, we need to like, you know, pivot here and like, you know, address this. And so that's how we kept, I think, going with the needs.
Well, you're building a community. Mm-hmm. So that's something I want to talk about. We're going to talk about that after, because I kind of want to dive a little more into the actual company and what you guys are doing. And but that's building that community of people. That's a big network of ambassadors you guys have. So it's a big message, right? So I think we're going to touch on that later on in the show, because that's, I think that's going to be the whole concept that we're going to get into, is like, we all want to build a community of people that are happy, successful, whatever it might be. Like, that's super important to me, mm-hmm. especially now, because I want to be in a community that like is, I don't know how to, they got a vibe, it's bumping, whatever, it's like whatever term, like it's thriving. Yeah. There's all sorts of things going on in it, and it's positive, because mm-hmm. like there's so much negativity in the world. You want to be in a positive area, right? And doing like, and then being in that headspace, that's hard to do too. To constantly be like, it's a good day. Is it really?
Yeah, I know, right? But
anyways, I digress. I'll go. I want to go back a little bit. So you guys started. When did you guys open up shop officially?
Like in, online.
No, at the, when you got your first your location in brick and mortar.
Officially? June 2022.
And then your online store was before that in 2020?
Yeah.
Yeah, so April 26, 2020 was when the store opened
online. Okay.
And then we opened up the physical location in June of this year.
So how have you guys handled the growth? Like the transition of growth, like, cause you were kind of skeptical to start, right? So how did you transition like to working together now, and like that growth of like growing your guys' and the growth that you guys have had in the company, and how has that gone?
Yeah. I mean, we've been learning a lot, as everybody does. I mean, we just dove in, like you had to, like, I mean, we laugh now, but when we got our clothes in, our first little shipment of clothes with our little logo on them, and the website was ready, kind of ready, we were just getting familiarized with it, all of a sudden there was like a alert that we'd never seen on our phone, and we had a sale from someone in Indiana, and we're like, our website's live? Like, we didn't even, we had no idea, like, we were getting there, but like I had no idea how to navigate that. So then, yeah,
but sure, at least enough, you had product.
Yeah, we had the hat. And so all of a sudden I'm like, well, how am I gonna put this in a package? Like, you know, like we hadn't even got in there at all. So anyways, that was Kara.
I remember,
and she's still a customer today.
True and an entrepreneur. Ambassador. Like Miss Melissa says, like the gears are always running constantly. So obviously I, you know, had the cart in front of the horse, mm-hmm. and I'm like the 15% person where I get it going and then I throw it onto her and she's got to do everything else
and figure it
I'll
out.
I'll run to the yeah. next thing.
That's how our life happens.
Yeah. Some right? eyes over there.
So say he's like jumping in the deep end and I'm like throwing rafters, you know, like
jackets, I'll handle like, the building of the raft before you get on.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. We had a sail and we didn't even know how to ship it.
Yeah. We didn't even know.
Love how. It.
Yeah.
So. Isn't that how it always works though?
It visionary like, and integrator. It 100%. Always comes back to that.
Yeah. It always does. Mm-hmm.
I know, listening to your guys' podcast, the last one, the where are they from? The States.
Crossomeets.
Crossomeets.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when they said how he's that way, and I'm like, oh, yeah, me too. And then you guys said that right. too. I'm like, okay. So clearly there's a common.
There's a bit of a trend.
Common trend here, because I definitely thought that we were the extreme version of it, but I guess it's
no,
common.
Not
yeah,
at all.
Yeah. And it can be a good balance. It's just, yeah.
It'd be difficult if there was two like visionaries, right? Because then you'd both be swirling and nothing would be getting done.
Yeah. And if we were both like me, we just wouldn't have started it in the first place.
The website wouldn't be live.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Maybe tomorrow.
That was a pretty fast process though. Like if this the idea just came to fruition like in March of 2020, and then you guys were already selling in April. Like, that's a quick transition to from idea to product. So how was that first month?
Yeah, well, I mean, the idea was more at the beginning of January, because that's when Curtis started kind of secretly building up a following, but I wasn't involved. So it was pretty close to just that month, I guess, the beginning of March.
But still, like, the first quarter of the year, that's fast to go from product to having a following to building a back end to having products ready to ship. Like, that's very fast.
Yeah. So as you can imagine, we weren't really prepared. You know, we didn't have...
But it went out. Everything's great.
Yeah. We're still kind of chasing our tail, but
But it's good.
It was pretty crazy how... All of a sudden, we got that first sale and then it got us excited and the way we were going. And then all of a sudden it was just like more clothes and more clothes and more clothes coming in. And, you know, I'm like, well, we can't make any profit if we don't have a lot of clothes. So we're just buying everything. And then it was like, where do we put this? So then it was like going in our house in the basement and on the pool table and the closets and everything else. And Melissa was making up orders on the across the pool table. And then I'd come downstairs and throw it all off of the pool table.
And start playing pool. He's like, I don't like this. This is my pool table.
That's awesome, though. That's something I would do. I'd be like, this is too organized.
Those startup stories are always my favorite, though.
Oh, I know. I love hearing those because they're true. They're reality. Like, you get all this product and you get going, you're super excited, then you're like...
And you're overwhelmed and...
Uh-oh. Yeah. Logistic-wise, how am I going to do all
this?
We're not prepared. But you just jump through those hoops. Mm-hmm. It's just like one lesson after another and away you guys go, right?
Yeah.
Which I think that's hilarious, though. But you're just like, nah, I'm good. Yeah.
He's like, we can't be doing this here. I'm like, well, where are we going to do it?
So from there, you guys went to... brick and mortar. When did you guys decide to do a brick and mortar? Like, once you kind of realize you're like, we can't do this in the house anymore, or?
Yeah, like we had tossed around the idea, but I think, as always, fear leads me. And I'm like, because I enjoyed just working from home. It was comfortable, I guess. Everything was right there. But I don't think I realized how much that wasn't going good. You know, work never shut off. Like, it was always kind of like hanging over us, and we really couldn't just leave it at the door, and it was like spewing out at us. At that point, we had turned our whole garage into
GTFO. Almost like a store.
Yeah. And Curtis was working downtown at that point. He took a job, so he was commuting, and he's like, I need to be able to park in my garage, because he's, you know, like, we had a triple car garage in High River at that point, and he couldn't park his little commuter car into it. And so I don't know, we talked about it. He's like, we need a store or a warehouse or like something. And then at that point too, it was Christmas last year, and so many people, they were starting to discover us locally, because at first, being online locally, people didn't know about us because we were selling it to like other towns, provinces, states. So once we started doing Christmas markets, then people started contacting us and be like, can I come look at your stuff? Like, where do you have a storefront? Do you have, you know, like, I want to see it. I want to try it on. And so we started letting people, I got a little business license for our garage, which lasted a couple weeks, 'cause then this opportunity came up, our friends at Howden Co.
Yeah. It was really the right place, right time kind of thing.
Opportunity.
Yeah, doing all the markets really made us realize, you know, because you always have that fear. It's like, I'm going to fucking make this and nobody's going to come and buy it. And then, it's like, it's the failure, right? But then it's like, okay, well, you got to fail or take that chance. So that's why we went with the store.
Yeah, and I think after getting feedback from people shopping online, we're like, okay, people are liking our stuff. So it gave us a little bit of confidence.
Promoting. That's the big one, right? The message is what triggers something in someone's brain.
Well, it's what sets you guys apart from all the other clothing brands, right? Like, you're buying a message. You're not just buying a piece of clothing that happens to feel really nice and fit perfectly.
Whatever. It's an awesome hoodie, and I won't let it go.
Yeah. Well,
that's good. Well, and everybody that buys it just... believes in it, like the ambassadors that we have behind it. You know, we've literally saved hundreds of lives since we started this. We've had the messages, talk to people in person.
How inspiring is that for you guys though? Like that keeps you motivated to keep going, right?
That was the thing when we had got to that point on why we were going to do it was if we could save one life. And then it's been hundreds. So every day, you know, when you're kind of, you know, at that point where you're like, I'm done with this, you're like, but I could help somebody and maybe save their life. And then you keep going.
And that inspires you to keep moving forward. I think that's like a huge message for everybody. I want to ask one other question before we take our ad read break. How do you guys, because you said you kind of like live in fear in that mode. How do you guys go about, does he like kind of like push you outside of your comfort zone? Like yeah. How do you guys go about like, because you were saying like, you don't know if someone's going to buy your stuff. And that's a big thing when you're starting a business. Like we all go through the same thing. Is anyone going to listen to us talk or like, is anyone going to like come into the store? Like, how do you guys deal with that? How did you guys like kind of, how do you guys cope with that and kind of deal with the fear? And like, how do you guys like communicate and rely on one another to like kind of get over that? Cause that's a big one for a lot of people.
Yeah. And I probably rely on you to help me get through some of that stuff. Yeah. But there's been times that he's just makes the decision and I find out when he's posting it on our Instagram, I'm like, oh, we are like, okay. Then.
And I push and push. Yeah. And we've had multiple, disagreements over certain things. And then, you know, Melissa's really gotten out of her shell though too, and has really taken off on it.
And I mean, I think sometimes it's beneficial, you know, with me, I guess at least suggesting things to you when you're thrown out an idea and you just want to jump. And then sometimes I do like put some questions into your mind to not necessarily talk you out of it, but maybe we need to like, maybe we need to like, I'm like, maybe we need to like, just think about this for a moment or write some pros and cons or like, So it does, there is a benefit sometimes, but I it's a good balance, I think, for sure.
And I think that's important that you have that balance, right? Because, like, I always say to Jenny, you're going to listen to this one, is fear is where your dreams go to die. So what difference does it make? Really? Yeah. You're going to mess up on certain aspects no matter what you do. So as long as for us, having that partner just to be like, you know, I'm really not going to be good at this. I might need a hand. I think that's super important just to be able to have that person to be like, and I'm the poker. Right. I'm like, hey, Rob, want to do this? Hey, we should try this. And she's like, logically, you need to go through all these steps in your head and tell me how we're going to execute this. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, fine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, who's going to do this? Well, and that's one thing Curtis did when we were both working from home doing it. And he was doing his other job part time from home. And I was too. And then I can't remember, you'd come up with a new idea. And you'd just start it and then you'd be like, but I don't have time to do it. So you're going to have to do it. And I'm like, okay, like, when, you know, so yeah, that's been interesting. But we've learned too that now it's, and that's the benefit of having the store is we're able to hire someone because it was hard to hire someone to like come in our house and, you know, work for us. So now that we have a store, we have somebody working there that has helped us a lot. So we've been able to take a step back and be able to work on the business more than just literally consuming ourselves in tasks that we shouldn't be doing necessarily, I guess. So
buying your time back a little bit, right?
Yeah. And she's great. So. Yeah.
So you guys can work on the bigger picture too, right? Promoting the message that you guys have. Okay. We're going to take a quick ad read break and then we're going to come back. And we're going to pick your guys' brain.
Get into the nitty-gritty.
Oh, yeah. Today's podcast is brought to you by Two Birds Furniture, your home of modern rustic, specializing in reclaimed wood projects since 2013. Shop online at www.twobirdsfurniture.ca.
Welcome back.
Sponsors, as always, shameless plug because I can. So we're here with GTFO, Get the Fuck Outside. So guys, I want to let our listeners know who are listening at this exact second where they can go with their phone in their hand as they're listening to this, where they can find you guys, what kind of what offers you guys have going on, and maybe how they can become an ambassador if they reach out to you guys, that kind of stuff.
Okay, so our website is gtf-outside.com. our Instagram. We have do a big following. There is
gtfoutside.company.
Right.
Okay. Yes.
And then our store's in Okotoks on Fisher Street. So we have, I don't know, slowly growing. Our main thing is hoodies, t-shirts, hats, toques.
We've been getting into leggings and sports bras and other women's athletic wear. Mm-hmm.
It's all branded?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That was the really cool thing that we got into is the branded stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And going through that process. So did you go through the whole design process of all the apparel as well? Can you kind of walk us through that process? More out of curiosity on my sake.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't try any of the leggings on us. No.
So, but the funny thing is some of the places where we would have, you know, get stuff made is it's, you don't always have a woman around. So when you wanted to see something immediately, you may see some leggings on a guy and you're like, no, I don't want to see that.
Yeah,
but yeah, you look for tech packs. So you find someone that has similar ideas to you and that you can talk to and then you tell them what you're looking for and create tech packs and then send out to manufacturers to build your tech pack for you.
That's cool.
Right.
Yeah. Like that's a whole new learning curve probably for you guys as well. Like ordering.
Oh yeah. We knew nothing.
Right.
And I think there was a little bit of a disadvantage because when we first started, well, when it was March, right away, Curtis is like, let's go to one of those trade shows. Cause there's some big ones, one in Vegas and Toronto and Vancouver where you go and you can actually like see people's product and, you know, different private label manufacturers and stuff. So right away he's like, there's one in Vegas in August. Let's go to it. And then COVID hit that week, I think it was. And we're like, well, I guess we're not going to a trade show. We need to figure this out. So
have you guys been to any since? Like, have you guys gone? Are you planning on going this year to like
we're check planning. Out stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just talked about it a couple nights ago. I'm like, I think we should go because I think there's one in January in Vegas. So we're like,
A little sunshine. Let's go there.
Yeah. So that was a struggle. I think in the whole COVID is trying
to. We talked about that a little bit a while ago. You were saying when I was in the store, just knowing what you're getting sometimes for the fit and like whether or not the sizing.
Well, there's so much variance.
Well, yeah, especially
even like in women's clothing alone. I can't even imagine like expanding that also into men's and then technical gear and all that jazz.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we, going through COVID, just we didn't want to get into a spot where we couldn't get clothing. So we figured there was going to be a logistical nightmare at some point in time. And sure enough, it happened. Thankfully, we did have several different manufacturers that when we couldn't get something because it was stuck in a sea can somewhere or at whatever border, we were able to get it from somebody else. And that kept us going. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And are you guys, is all your product coming, like, is it international? Is it Canadian, American made? Like, is it kind of like a broad range of different?
A big mix.
Big mix?
Yeah, big mix. Because originally we wanted to do just 100% Canadian made products. So we actually reached out to a company out of Vancouver to brand our stuff. And they make a lot of their product out of recycled plastic. So it's 50% cotton, 50% recycled plastic. And we were doing that. But then it got to a point where it was just too expensive. Mm-hmm. So then we started reaching out internationally. And really, it just depends on what we're looking for, whether it's a good quality cotton hoodie or athletic wear. It depends on where it comes from.
And what your market's looking for as well. Right?
Are you guys looking at like a branding standpoint though? Like, cause you're talking about like get the fuck outside and you're talking about like the outdoors was that kind of the initial was like with the 50% plastic and the environment, was there kind of like a branding aspect to that at the beginning a little bit? And still now that you guys have like offshoots. So you have one like, that's like, you know, made for in the environmental side, one that's like made for like the mental health awareness and like kind of different branches. Is that something you guys are trying to like do a little bit now or?
Well, we had our earth friendly collection.
Okay.
Is what we called it. Yeah.
Cause I was just more curious if there's different avenues you guys are going down, just like, cause you get a broad base of people, like basically you're unlimited to the amount of people you can affect. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, what is it? What are we at? Like 8.5 billion? Right. I don't know. There's a lot.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
internationally.
Yeah.
That you guys can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how does someone become an ambassador for you guys? Like, I know you did I'm actually kind of curious. Let's go back a little bit. How did you go about getting the people to be ambassadors? Was it like just they love the message, or did you reach out to them? Let's start there first.
So originally, you know, since I was the one that was running the Instagram, you know, I would look through profiles of certain people that seemed like they had similar interests to ours. And then I'd reach out to them and talk to them. And, you know, we talked about Kara McGuire being one of our very first sale. She ended up being our very first ambassador, because then I reached out to her, talked to her a little bit more, and realized we were very like-minded in kind of, and she believed in our mission. So, it was like, well, we should have her for an ambassador. So then I thought, well, I want 25 ambassadors. That's what I'm going to go after. So then I just continued to target certain people that fit our message and who we wanted to represent us. And that's kind of how it started.
And had a big following, because then we thought I'd be able to kind of advertise at first. Mm-hmm. But then that really switched after that we're like, well, we don't need to do that. Like, we'd rather just have like-minded people live in that lifestyle and
promoting your message.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they started reaching out to us. So then we're like, maybe we don't have to chase it necessarily.
Yeah. And it's a very, very safe community. For the longest time, I controlled all of that, the ambassador. So, the ambassador applications would come in, through our website. And you can just fill out an application there to be an ambassador. Yeah. And I would be the one that would go through it, look through the profile, potentially talk to them to figure out, you know, who is this person? What are they about? And are we going to allow them into our community of kind people, so that it was a safe place for everybody? It was zero judgment, because that's, you know, really the big thing that we have right now in our ambassador community. And we'll create events online and we'll go do hikes, and someone who's never done a hike before can come out there. And if they're not very athletic, they can still come and do the hike, and they don't ever have to worry about being judged by anybody.
That's incredible.
That's huge. Mm-hmm. I've had that conversation a few times. I think that's one thing that I even say for gyms, and this is for a lot of gym owners, like I've listened to, if there was a gym that you could go to, because like I always say, when you're in shape and you're feeling good, and I've been both end of the spectrum, you know how to use the machines. You go in there and you're just doing your thing, you're lifting weights, you know exactly what's going on. There's no judgment because you're in shape. Mm-hmm. When you're not, and you're like, man, I forgot how to use this machine, it's a whole different feel. And then you got guys in there who are in shape and they're looking at you like, can you get off the bench press? Like, you're doing one plate. What are you doing? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
So I think that's important, that there's almost like a safe place where you can feel comfortable, one, to learn, one, to like not be a good hiker and like maybe not have the right gear. Like they call it kit or gear or whatever. Right. But there's a factor to that that's important for people to understand, that they're safe to go. So you guys actually have like hikes, you bring people on that have no experience, or even if you have experience, you can go and do hikes. Can they register?
Yeah. So on our Facebook page is where we set it up. And that was one thing we didn't really talk about, is the Facebook page is GTF Outside. But we'll create events on there. And then mainly it'll start on our, so we have a GTFO ambassador group.
Okay.
So every ambassador can belong to that group, and then we'll create the event for there, and then people can sign up to it.
Is it localized, or do the ambassadors also like do like in certain areas of like different parts of the world? Do they like take people out as well?
Well, that's the cool part about how it's grown, or what's become of it, is so many ambassadors have connected living in the same sort of area, and then we find out that they're meeting up for the first time and going on hikes and or whatever. You don't have to be a hiker. We're not just something outside, and they're making connections and becoming, you know, because they felt safe, they felt comfortable. They're part of the GTFO ambassador group. And so, yeah, Vancouver Island, I know there's a lot.
And there's some of them that are like best friends now.
Yeah.
They've met up and they're best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's a unique thing, right? That you guys are creating, and it's going to build. Mm-hmm. Right. And you're building a movement. So how do you guys plan to expand a little bit on that movement? Like what?
You, I know. Are you asking know. Him or me?
No,
I'm like, I want Melissa. Yeah.
I'm just comfortable where we're at. No.
Yeah, I know everyone has like has their plans and they got some dreams mm-hmm. and goals and like do you guys what are your guys's?
Well, I mean, we've talked lots about having more events. So events that's somewhere out, whether it's Kananaskis or something, a weekend event where people can sign up for it, pay a certain amount, and we'll bring out maybe a couple guest speakers. We'll have like sort of a schedule of going out for a hike, doing some, it's like a retreat, I guess, that's going to focus.
Yeah, that'd be retreats.
Yeah, a little bit of mental health, but then just a little bit of getting together and going and doing some outside stuff.
Yeah, and again, the whole thing is to bring a whole bunch of people together that maybe haven't done anything like that before, and then bringing in the guest speakers, doing somewhat of a course. Like I mentioned earlier, I went through a 10-week course, changed my life, and I want to be able to offer that to others, and we could probably bring that in and do that in a weekend. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the
where you're
goal
headed.
With that. Yeah, that's where we're headed.
Well, and you can take that a long ways. It doesn't just have to be like localized, right? You guys can start traveling a little bit.
Travel all over.
Meeting your ambassadors and doing groups. And yeah, there's lots to it. That's why I was just curious because my brain starts going.
Yeah, I know, right? To where Curtis is. Like,
I know, right? Yeah.
I'm like, oh man, all this different stuff. So if people want to like partner up with you guys, like how would that look like for partnering up? Because I'm more curious sake for us. Like I would love to go do some outdoor stuff and like partner up and just like even do some sponsorship stuff or like some canoe trips. Cause we're big on our like canoe trips and our couples trips on that kind of stuff. Cause it's all about communication and like being open to having that conversation when you're stuck in a boat for 2 hours, with just the two of you having to paddle straight, which sometimes isn't that easy.
Right. Yeah.
So like, yeah, if people wanted to partner up with you guys or like bring something to the table, like what kind of avenues could we do that with?
Well, you could contact us on our website.
Yeah. Just like the ambassador form.
Just elevator pitch.
Yeah. Curtis may or may not approve you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I stopped looking after the ambassador program when it got close to 1,000 ambassadors. Yeah, now Rachel looks after it.
Yeah. I think there's like 20 a day applications that we get. But I guess we haven't really talked about hosting like public events because right now it's a lot of just ambassador events. Mm-hmm.
But we do some collabs. Like we do a collab with Revita Energy Tea. They sponsor some of our events and give us free tea for that. So yeah, I mean, it's reach out to Melissa. Melissa's email is melissa@gtf-outside.com.
Yeah, I'll take care of that. Yeah. No, we're open to ideas, and I mean, that's one thing that being kind of new to, I mean, we've been living here for 10 years, but we're kind of new to being a part of the community, I guess, so to speak, being a small business. So a lot of people are kind of throwing ideas at us. We're like, oh, that's a good idea. We could do it, you know, so yeah.
Are there plans to expand like the brick and mortar or open other locations or?
Yeah, there would be plans to expand. Into other areas.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's the goal.
Which is good. Gotta have some growth goals. I was just more interested in just to see like different ambassadors and like what you guys are trying to promote. So I want to go back a little bit to the whole outdoors thing because that's big on my list. I always like being outdoors. What kind of benefits do you guys feel people get from being outside and going to do stuff outside that is important to you guys and you think is important to the community and other people who aren't even a part of your community?
Well, immediately, I mean, when you go out and it helps, you know, like just a half an hour outside itself increases your dopamine and serotonin, which then will alleviate your anxiety and your stress. So I think they even say 15 minutes, but 30 minutes out there. You know, for me, a lot of the times when I get out there, your phone's off, or you're not even paying attention to it. Your mind is focused on the views, the smells. I can smell the cedar, you know, the pine, all of that. And it just immediately clears my mind into like a happiness.
I think it takes you back a little bit to like almost like a
It's like a reset.
Pioneer stage.
Yeah, just, you know what I mean? Like, takes you back a little bit to your, like, your original, like, where you're kind of supposed to be. I always do that. Like, we're outside and you're, like, even driving. You're driving through, like, so just for example, from here to Brooks, and you're like, man, can you imagine, like, hiking and walking and on the wagon trail and, like, just there's nothing going on and it's just flat.
Mm-hmm. For
and
days.
Then you see a mountain and you're like, we're camping right here and we're building a house. That's it. Yeah. I just always go back to that in nature and just like the whole concept. But there is something about being outside and like earth and like breathing in like real, mm-hmm. like clean the air. Sense and the clean air and
grounding.
You have no other tasks mm-hmm. ahead of you. When you're out for a hike or you're canoeing or whatever, a walk, what other task do you really have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it.
Like you're just 1 foot in front of the other trying to get to a certain point. And I think people are so busy trying to do too many things mm-hmm. at once that when you only have one task to actually do, it allows you to stop and actually really think about whether you're not thinking or just want to clear your head or like actually just like think clearly about what you need to do. I always find I come back refreshed from being outside. I think it's important people actually take the time to do it. Now, that's another yeah. thing is – and they say, no, it's only 15 minutes
yeah. mm-hmm.
for the sunshine. And right now we don't get a lot of it because it's 6 hours a day or whatever we're getting of actual sun.
Right.
Yeah.
And usually when you're outside, like you're doing something task related, whether it's chores or just paying attention where you're walking or what you're looking at, or if you're golfing, you're focused on that. So it just forces you to stop, kind of stop the other wheels from turning for a little while.
Do you guys also promote like – instead of just going all the way to Kananaskis or like just going out and like going in your garden and like getting the dirt and like grow a garden in the summer and, you know, even just have like planter boxes full of herbs in the winter, like just that, do you guys kind of have, do you promote some of that? Is that kind of the whole concept as well? It's not just going out to the mountains, not just, you know, jumping in a canoe or going to the lake. It's like actually just go outside and just mm-hmm. pound the pavement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we talk about that a lot, just going outside for a walk.
Yeah.
Or just going and sitting outside on your deck or on your, you know, like you said, go walk on the grass.
Yeah, so we do push that and promote it, especially for the folks that are, you know, in the cities and, you know, it's just get outside for a walk around the block or into a park or whatever it is, right? Just get the fuck outside.
just get the fuck outside.
Yeah, and back to the, you know, recently we had a friend that she wasn't able to drive and she'd been a month or something without really getting out. So I drove to her place, picked her up, brought her for a ride through the mountains because that's what she loves and looking for bears. And she's a really special person to us. She's helped us out a lot. And so Philly and I were out in the mountains and we were at Wedge Pond and I was just sitting there staring up and looking at the rock. And I sat there for like 5 minutes just staring at it. And I'm like, how the fuck am I so happy just staring at this rock? It's just a rock that I'm staring at. But it's just, it's that moment of like bliss. Like your mind is clear.
There's nothing there. It's almost like being a kid.
It
again,
is.
A little
it
bit.
It
just
is.
That, like you can find the most like
the
a rock.
Simplest.
Yeah. It's like, this is the best toy in the world.
Yep. When your mind gets creative, you start like picturing things, images in the side of the mountain and you know, really that you say that about the kids is, I mean, we've had our, you know, for the most part, society steals our creativity and getting back out and doing that kind of stuff. We get that creativity back.
Yeah. Go dig in the dirt. And I remember when I was a kid, it used to be like the whole fun game was like, cause you didn't understand it. Dig to China.
Right.
You have your little,
right.
You just like shovel, you got this like big hole and dad's like, really? Fill that back in. What are you doing? Yeah. it was just a task. You're just having fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Out in the dirt. Because like I said, like I grew up like middle of nowhere. So you're outside riding horses. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. So it is like going back to, for me, for especially, it's like going back to being a kid because mm-hmm. you didn't have any really responsibilities as a kid. You didn't have all these pressures of outside people and, you know, staff and clients and running a business and kids and whatever's going on in your life. And you're sitting there and it's just quiet. And I think people kind of miss that a little bit. I don't know if you guys find that, like, that's kind of why the message resonates with me is they kind of miss the quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Cause there's just, it's yeah. constant, almost flashing in your brain of like, mm-hmm. and your
well, it's 3 seconds stimulation.
Yeah. It's a 3 second attention span.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if you take 5 minutes to just stare at a rock, that's impressive now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, not too many people can do that anymore, and unless you absolutely have to.
And not appreciate it. So do you guys go out together then, and just the two of you by yourself and just unwind a little bit, and you just go out and it's just the two of you kind of hanging out in the wilderness? And
the majority of the time, yeah. We bought a camper van in the spring, and we went down into the Crownland camping and just sat there around the fire and stared at the mountains, and we like to do that.
Yeah, but we do try to organize these events at least once a month.
Yeah.
So, often it's with a group of people. And whether it's a hike or just a campfire, we did a campfire on January 1st, roasted wieners with some ambassadors and people meeting for the first time. And there was a lady that came with her two daughters, and they had never roasted a wiener. They're from Ukraine. They never roasted a wiener on the fire. So they were just in awe by it. So it gave them the opportunity. Otherwise, maybe they wouldn't have, experience that.
You guys get to have those open conversations, because there's nothing. Mm-hmm. What else are you going to do? Sit there and you can sit there and be in silence, but it usually leads to conversation when you're with a group of people, and it can be quite in depth sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's those fire, I don't know what it's something about a fire. Fire just brings out
inspires some pretty, some pretty deep conversations.
Yeah. I will say though, with Curtis and I going out, it is one thing though that to shut off the business talk when it's just the two of us is challenging sometimes.
Yeah, definitely.
Need to turn this off.
Do you guys have a separation point now that you've been in business together? Do you have set business hours where you talk to each other about business and then set home hours yet?
Not necessarily.
We're getting better.
Not set in stone, but it's gotten a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We do unplug at times. And then the other thing is we'll have special getaways. So in next week, we got a couple nights booked for Banff, and we're going to go there and just, and then most people think, well, your holidays must be just jam packed with hikes and going and seeing this and going and seeing that and this and that. And we're like, well, not always, because we like to just have some downtime too. And we need to escape to some of those things just to get that downtime.
I think that's 100% true, because I know for me, unless I'm gone somewhere,
unless we physically leave the country, we don't get downtime. Yeah.
Not really. We still have that separation point where but we've talked about this in the pod multiple times. For me, I grew up with my parents working together. So there was fighting at home if they were mad at one another. They were perfectly fine at work, come home, didn't talk to each other, sorted their crap out when we went to bed. And then the next day they were fine. It was they just completely, there's all these lines in the sand. It was just so I grew up with that. So for me, it was well, when I'm at home, I'm home. I'm your husband. When I'm at work, no, we're making logical decisions. We're here for business. We're here to execute. And then so for me and Robin, it was 3 or 4 years of going through this process of trying to figure out when to separate and shut off the phone and not talk business. Mm-hmm. It's not easy.
No, it's not.
Because you want to.
Right.
Because you're both involved in it, right? So you're both every day. You're like, hey, I got an idea. And if you're Curtis, if you're like me, you want to talk about that idea now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want to wait till tomorrow.
No, you're going to need to pencil it in when I'm awake.
Right? Want to have that conversation. So it's really hard not to. So 100%. I just start writing it down. And then the next day, schedule the meeting.
Put that in your calendar. Yeah. We might talk about it.
Yeah. I may accept that invite.
So I just want to touch on a couple more things with you guys before we go. As a couple, what have you guys, what advice can you give other people when they're starting out? What have you guys learned in this last couple of years, working together because you guys didn't work together at all before, right? It was two separate businesses or two separate jobs you guys are working. So what advice would you give people deciding to do that? Because I think that's important that people can have different perspectives on it.
Well, for myself, I would say communication. I do get the ideas in my head, and then I think she's thinking the same things where she's not, and then I am 10 steps ahead already in my head, and then we just talked about. I mean, if I get something in my mind late at the night in the night, and we don't talk about it, and I don't write it down, the next day it's gone, and I got 10 more things, and then it's didn't we talk about that? And we didn't talk about it, and then And then I've got emails off to, or phone calls to so many other people. And then all the stuff is getting thrown on her plate and she has no idea what's going on because I didn't say anything. So communication.
Yeah, definitely.
100%.
And I mean, understanding everybody. I mean, I know you mentioned it probably previously, or everybody says it, but recognizing everybody's like strengths and weaknesses and also how we work. Like, I definitely am a lot more emotional than Curtis. So being able to communicate with each other, like how we need to communicate with each other, you know, like, I guess just understanding.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Cause that's where, yeah, really. No, I am an emotional person. So, just for the listeners, I'm a very emotional guy. But
you're just more direct.
You're not my employee is what you're trying to say.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, you've been sort of a leader in your role for in the oil industry. And, you know, he was in the corporate level, like leading a lot of people. And then I was like, okay, this needs to stop. You're not leading me.
Yeah, we both have our strengths and I'm going to be powerful over here. You can be powerful over here and we'll meet in the middle sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. I think it's hard to learn that too because it takes a while. Because like when you first transition into operating together, it's like, well, this is how we're doing it. And it's like,
no, the that's fuck not we how are.
And it's right. Like, wait a minute. What do you mean we're not doing it that way? Yeah. Right. So I think that's important for people to like listeners to know that like how you communicate with one another. Cause again, we have the same thing. Like I don't have that emotional beacon all the time where it's like, it's like, you know, shit to get off the pot. Kind of like grew up that way. It was like, we were talking about blue collar before. Yeah. Like I grew up on a farm, on a ranch, like it better be freaking falling off or broken before you better like before you need something, right?
Yeah.
So having that open conversation, that open dialogue with one another, I think that's really important for everybody listening to know and
reiterate the point. Yeah,
that's great advice.
Yeah. And I mean, we're still learning it. Like we haven't been doing this for that long.
So but
still, yeah, you guys are 2 years in and almost 1 year in a brick and mortar. And yeah, you're but still on this huge
transition.
Learning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you're bringing... There's two separate mediums, business and operations, and then there's relationships. They don't really mix that well. They're kind of oil and water unless you're really like cognizant of the two mixing and actually like melding into a product that you can actually present to the public, right? So that's something. That's why we did this podcast too. We wrote our book is because we needed to look at ourselves first. And be like, hey, I have this strength and she has this strength. Okay, well, we're both good at that. Now, who do we hire? Because we have weaknesses in the same thing. So all that kind of starts to balance out. You can figure out who do you hire? When do you hire? Why it's do we need helpful. This person? Or, oh, I can't, you know, be this direct today with Robin because she's already kind of mad at me at home. So we have to really, you know what I mean?
We have to readjust today
or they're just my vice versa too. It goes two ways. Like she can come and tell me off and I'm just like not taking it that day and I'm not in the mood for it. Right. So it's like,
and I don't sugarcoat it at work.
No, I know you don't. That's not how we roll. So I think it's important that people know that. Like there's no sugarcoating. That's just reality.
Just
and that, I think that's important for like you guys sharing that message for people, right? Like what do you guys do? Like, what do you guys do and how do you do it?
Yeah.
And I think that's important that people know that. So Robin has her favorite question now.
I haven't asked it in a while, but here we go.
Yeah.
Well, if you guys could go back and give your younger self some advice on to like where you're at now and like what your mission is now, what would that be?
You go first.
I think I'd give myself a lot of advice. Probably overall, I guess practicing what I preach, though, being kind to yourself and putting myself first, because if my cup's empty, then I'm not going to be productive and I'm not really, going to get much done. So focusing on my health, like I know when we got busy, crazy busy, like we had to remind ourselves to eat, you know, no longer exercising, like not taking care of our well-being, and that just kind of spiraled. So it was like, okay, no, this isn't going to be long term if we keep going like this. So that's trying to focus on your own.
Yeah.
On your own mental health for sure. Cause that's something we definitely didn't focus on. And that's why I ended up having to take a course was to learn how to do all that. So Yeah. For myself, it would be probably like the planning a lot better.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big dreamer, but not really a great planner or really putting process onto paper kind of thing. So that's the one thing I probably would have looked into a little bit more and done better.
That's also great.
Yeah, those are both awesome. Right? 'Cause they're 100% true either way.
Yeah.
And I've gone through both.
Yeah.
I'm still working through both.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like you burn yourself to the ground trying to build this thing up, and then all of a sudden it hits you and you're like,
I can't do this.
I can't do this. Like, I've slept at the shop for the last week. I'm like not healthy. I'm eating fast food. I'm like, no, this isn't good. And that's like why Rob and I did this thing called 75 hard, just to like reboot.
Right.
It's like, yeah, just do these tasks, like work out, put your head, drink your water, like just these seven tasks. They're not complicated. Yeah. Just do them.
You just have to do and them just every day.
Reset yourself a little bit. And then same thing for planning. Like, I was horrendous. Like, just sit down and like,
take this big dream and dial that back to what you need to do.
But just
today.
Like, start to plan out, like, how do you, what are the steps to get? Right. And that's why Robin is so helpful for me.
Yeah.
Right?
I itemize and color code things for you.
Yeah, that's what I got in my binder.
Color coded?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you need that though. You have to, and again, it goes back to you guys, like, same as us. You have to have the one person who is the visionary and the other person who is the implementer. And they implement them systems and things, and then they bring you back together. So this person who can only think like a week in advance and a person who thinks 5 months or 5 years in advance, well, they got to meet in the middle.
And well, I think you create a system that people can walk into and make successful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, guys. That's the end of our show. I appreciate you guys coming on.
Thank you so much
awesome.
For coming on.
Can you guys just give us one little quick shout out to where listeners can find you again?
So locally in Okotoks at 130 Fisher Street.
Yeah. And then online at gtf-outside.com.
Perfect. And on Instagram is the same thing.
Yeah. gtfoutside.company.
Perfect. And then Facebook, we're just GTF Outside Company. Try to keep up.
Perfect. Appreciate you guys coming on. Thanks again for listening, everybody. As always, you can find us at businesslifeofhusbandandwife.ca. On Instagram and Facebook, the same. And
Twitter.
On Twitter as BizLifeCouple.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
As always, thanks for listening. Make sure to follow, share, and subscribe online. Check us out on all social medias at Business Life of Husband and Wife.